And the general of the king's army himself goes to Salim. And he says, we take Salim, the big troublemaker, and he is going to be hanged in the middle of the city. Go and tell the people of Gulmojine to come out because they're safe. The soldiers of the king is here, and the troublemaker, Salim the Turk, is going to be hanged in exactly 1 hour when everybody is gathered in the middle of the city. And we're going to build the rope on the stick. And now they take Salim the Turk to the same place that he had the 10 lashes. Remember the 10 lashes? Well, now he's going to get worse than 10 lashes. And Kinalach, the people of Gulmojine, when they realize they're safe, they come out of their houses and they're singing and they're dancing and they're so happy. And the Yidden come out of the shul and they're singing and dancing so happy. They thank Hashem that He saved them. But all of a sudden, Kinalach, Mikanos, who does not stop making trouble with his evil plans, he started going to the streets and he starts screaming, what are you singing and dancing and so happy? And they say, Mikanos, don't you realize we were saved from the soldiers? Oh, the troublemaker soldiers, yes, but there's more troublemakers that make trouble for us, and you shouldn't sing and dance so fast until they're punished. I say, what are you talking about, Mikanos? How could it be that the soldiers from Salim the Turk comes through the gate? How could the gate be open if the soldiers locked the gate? And the people stopped singing and dancing. They said, you have a question. How could it be? And Mikanos says, when I was in my house hiding like you, I wasn't under the bed or in the closet. I was looking, peeking out the window to see, maybe Mikanos can help the people from Gulmojine. I tried to figure out a way to help. You know what I see? Because my house is on the street close to the gate, I see a Jew. In fact, I'll tell you which one it was. The Yaakov who has the grocery, you know him? You know, with the yarmulke on his head, with the beard? He goes to the gate. He comes from the shul. He goes to the gate. He opens the gate. The Reb Yaakov, the Jew, opens the gate. Which means the Jews made a deal with Salim the Turk. Now, Kinalak, do you hear what Mikanos just did? What he himself did, he is blaming on Reb Yaakov, that Reb Yaakov opened up the gate. Mikanos says to the general, not one stick with a rope. You should make 2 sticks with 2 ropes. 1 rope on each stick. And the general says, why should I do that? Salim is the leader of the army. And the general, and Mikanos says, you don't understand, general. How did Salim, the army, get in the front gate? The general says, the army came through the front gate? Didn't the soldiers of Gulmojine lock the gate? And Mikanos says, of course they locked the gate, but inside Gulmojine is a traitor, somebody who goes against Gulmojine, a real bad guy. And I know who it is because I saw when everybody is hiding under the bed in the closet, me, Mikanos, I be by the window. I think to myself, how can I, Mikanos, the main grocer from Gulmojine with the best store, how can I help my people? What can I do? All of a sudden, general, I see outside my window a Jew with a beard, with those kind strings coming out from the pants. He goes very, very tippy-toe. You know what's tippy-toe? He go very quietly that nobody see. He think nobody sees. Of course, I, Mikanos, I see it. And he goes and opens the gate. And I know who it was. It was Reb Yaakov the Jew. And I think I know, I'm very smart, why he opened the gate. he makes a deal with Salim that if Salim come in and Rabbi Yaakov the Jew open the gate, Salim leave him alone and does nothing to him, and of course his friends the Jews, and he only goes to us, the other people from Gomogjine, who's not Jews, and especially he come to my store because the Rebbe Yaakov is jealous for my store, and he make a deal that Salim should knock down my store. That's what Rebbe Yaakov does. Kinalach, is this the truth or a big fat lie? This is a big fat lie. Exactly what Mykonos himself was planning to do. That's what he made it look like, Rabbi Yaakov. But Kinalach, the people started to believe him, and they started to scream, "Traitors! Rabbi Yaakov and all the Jews, catch Rabbi Yaakov and hang him on the stick next to Salim." And all of a sudden, Kinalach, the soldiers of the king, they didn't know any better. They started searching around, and of course Rabbi Yaakov was there with all the yidden that came out of the shul, and all of a sudden they catch him, and they bring him now, and they put up another stick with a rope, and chas v'shalom, they're ready to hang Rabbi Yaakov on the stick next to Salim, and everybody's gathered there to watch. And all of a sudden, Kinalach, Salim looks around and he sees Mykonos, and Mykonos is laughing. And all of a sudden a big feeling comes over Salim as they're putting the rope around his neck, and he starts to scream. He says, "I must say one more thing before I die. I must tell the truth, because I know after the rope goes on my neck, no more Salim. But before this happened, I must tell the truth." And all of a sudden the general says to everybody, be quiet, Salim has one last thing to say. Let him talk before he passes away. And Salim says, "I must tell the truth. Now all of a sudden come clear on my mind. My mind does not work so fast, works kind of slow. But I saw now what's true, and I can prove it. Everybody remember before right here I got the 10 petch because I make the trouble for Rabbi Yaakov the Jew. Because he cheats me. The truth is he doesn't cheat me. I just figured out that he gave me more than I bought. But I just figured out now who is the cheater and who is the liar. And I must tell everybody the truth. It is not Rabbi Yaakov the Jew. It is him standing there, the other grocer man. His name is Mickey Mouse. I mean Mykonos. The Mykonos, him. Because he say now that Reb Yaakov goes to make the deal. It's not true. You know who comes to make the deal and open the gate?" And he points again. "Him, the Mickey Mouse, I mean the Mykonos. Mykonos makes the deal, not Reb Yaakov. And Mykonos, he's the cheater. Go check his store. Probably has the funny weights." And they went to Mykonos' store, and they checked his weights behind the counter that nobody ever went there before. And sure enough, they found two sets of weights. One lighter weights and one heavier weights. And we know how he cheated with those weights. And now, Kinalach, they saw that Salim was telling the truth, and Rabbi Yaakov was taken away from the stick and the rope, and now they brought up Mykonos, and they put the rope on Mykonos' neck, and they hanged Salim together with Mykonos instead of Chas v'Shalom Rabbi Yaakov. And of course, to the Jews, Laihudim Haisa Aida Vesimcha Vesasami Kar. And to this day in Gomogjina, on the 22nd day of Cheshvan, when this thing happened, they have a special Purim that they call Purim Gomogjina. And if you go to Turkey on this time, even in this day, on Chaf Beis Mar Cheshvin, you'll have a big, big yontav over there with the Yidden who celebrate that they were saved from Salim the Turk. And if the Yidden who live there, they celebrate that instead of Reb Yaakov, it was Mikanos who got hanged. Look here. Who is ready to listen to the story about the Rebbe in honor of his birthday today, Yud Aleph Nissen? A story which you probably never heard because it happened to me and my family, and therefore it's not a story that you heard because it's not like, you know, one of these stories once upon a time, even though Taka was once upon a time because it happened already. And maybe years from now people will say, once upon a time. Okay, who's ready to hear this story? Okay, look at my nose, and then I can tell the story. Do not make noise with your tzedaka. I know it's really a lot of fun to drop the coins on the desk and make a lot of noise, but, you know, I don't want to hear it. Everything about this story is not just a story. It's important things. There are important things to learn about the Rebbe. That's why I'm telling you this story. I feel it happened to me in order that I should tell you. Now, why should I tell you what happened to me? You know, did you ever hear of Rechilas? It's an Aveda. Don't tell people business that's not their business. That's called Rechilas. Lashon Hara means it's none of your business that somebody else did something bad. Rechilas means it's none of your business somebody did something that's not bad and not good. What's this your business? Well, a maisa, a story that happened from the Rebbe, you could learn very important things out that if it happened to me, and I'm telling you, it's because maybe you could use the story to help you. Or, if you hear the story, maybe right now you can't use it, but maybe tomorrow you could use it. Maybe next week you could use it. Because a story that happened from a tzaddik, I think, is a part of Torah. It's not just Torah in a book. It's Torah that happened in the world. Something that really happened. Where you see the Eibishter in the world. Who is ready to see the Eibishter in the world and see the bracha of the Rebbe in the world? Something that really happened to me. Now, one thing that I learned about the Rebbe is that not only things that happened with the Rebbe are important, but even exactly when, exactly how anything happened was very important. What time it happened, or what day it happened, or what week it happened, or what month it happened. I don't remember, I don't mean that you necessarily have to remember the minute, even though that's important if you could do it. But I'm saying exactly the way things happened and how and when. Every little detail from the Rebbe was very important. Now, I had just learned an idea in Hasidus and in Torah before this story happened. And the idea, maybe you know already, but I'm going to tell you the idea. It might be that you know this idea, but I'll tell it to you anyway. If Hashem says something, could it change later, or is it going to happen the way Hashem says? If Hashem made a gezeirah, if Hashem said for a good thing, this is going to happen, can anything change that later?
No.
Nothing can change it. Can anything get in Hashem's way?
No.
If there's chas v'shalom, a not good gezeirah, it could change because we could do tshuva and change the gezeirah. But I'm talking about an important good thing that Hashem says. It's going to happen. No matter what happens later, if Hashem says, that's the way it's going to be. Now what about a tzaddik? Let's say a tzaddik says something. Is that the way it's going to be, or maybe it's just going to change later? That's the way it's going to be. Now, for example, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, go out of Mitzrayim. Why? Why go out of Mitzrayim? Just to get away from Paroi? No. Why to go out of Mitzrayim? You know why? Huh? To go to get the Torah, and then later to go to Eretz Yisrael. That's the reason to go out of Mitzrayim. Now, as we know, it's exactly this time of year, very interesting that this story is, I'm telling it now. What happened when the Jews went out of Mitzrayim? Pesach, a beautiful Yontif. We're going free. Pari gives us permission. The Goyim had the Makos. We saw miracles. The Jews saw miracles. The Goyim got punished. We go out from slavery. We take silver and gold and money and jewels and all the beautiful silver and gold kalim that belong to us anyway. And the Mitzrayim are afraid of us. And we're going out of Mitzrayim and nobody's there to stop us. What happened 7 days later? All of a sudden, Paroi changed his mind. And there's all kinds of reasons why. And he sent a gigantic army, a powerful army, to go chase after the Jews. And the Jews came to the Yam Suf. And the Yam Suf was like a big ocean. And on one side is an ocean. The other side is a desert. And the army is coming. And there's no way to run. And the Jews said, Oy Gebald, everything seems to have changed. Or really they said, everything did change. Now we're finished. Forget about going out of Mitzrayim. It was all for nothing. Now we have no chance. We're going to die. And some of them said, let's just give up and go back to Mitzrayim rather than to die. Others said, let's fight until we die. And other people said, let's just... One group said, let's go back to Mitzrayim and give up and be slaves again. Another one said, let's fight until we die. Another one said, let's kill ourselves in the Yam Suf rather than to go and be killed by the Goyim and go back to slavery. And a fourth group said, let's just daven to Hashem to help us, to save us. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, all of you are wrong. Everybody. Why? Hashem said, go out of Mitzrayim to go get the Torah and later to go to Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Yidden said, what do you mean? It's all changed, didn't it? Look at what's happening now. Moshe Rabbeinu said, nothing changed. I, with your eyes, you see it seems impossible. That's only because with your eyes, you see it's impossible. Do you go after your eyes? Or we say in the Shema, you don't necessarily go after your eyes and your heart. Sometimes they could trick you. Even though it looks that way, forget about it. The way things really are the way Hashem says, not the way things look to your eyes. And that's when Nachshon ben Aminadav jumped into the Yam Suf. And on the way to Har Sinai was on the other side of the Yam Suf. And it didn't make any sense. But still, the only way to fulfill what Hashem said was to go into the Yam Suf. The other Yidden did, and then what was happening? Kriyas Yam Suf. The end of Pesach, Shvi Shel Pesach. That's the Yontif that's coming up in just a few days. In other words, we see from this that once Hashem says something, no matter what happens later, it doesn't matter. Because it already was said by the Eibishter, that's the way it's going to be. And whatever happens later, you don't have to pay attention to. Even if it covers over, even if it makes it seem impossible what the tzaddik said. The same thing about tzaddik says something. Because a tzaddik is like the Eibishter. Tzaddikim doimim leboiram. And it also says, a tzaddik is goyzer v'akadosh baruch hu makayim. A tzaddik says something, the Eibishter will do it. Now who's ready to listen to this story? All about that happened to me and my family not that long ago. Because I'm not exactly 100 years old yet. Okay. This happened, I would say, about 15 years ago. Around 1981, something like that. 1980, 16, 17 years ago. Okay. There was a man, his name is Rabbi Burstyn. In fact, he's still around, Baruch Hashem. And Rabbi Berson has a family, and the family is getting ready to go on a trip in about a month to fly away about 3,000 miles, the whole family to fly in a plane, and to go to a faraway place on a certain trip to visit family and to see people. And we used to have such a minhag in our family to always write in to the Rebbe for a bracha, for a safe trip, and that everything should be good. Because to go on a plane, you know, to go on a plane, you want to make sure everything is safe and good. And to go to a faraway place and to talk to all kinds of people that are not necessarily exactly the same way you are, and sometimes, you know, you need special help from Hashem. So he asked the Rebbe for a bracha that everything should be b'hatzlacha. And every single time we went, we always got a bracha. Every single time, it happened a lot of times before, we always wrote in, and we always got a bracha, every single time. So therefore, this time, we wrote in, and our feeling was that we want to get the Rebbe's bracha. And let's say we would not get the Rebbe's bracha. Now, this is very important. Sometimes a person would write into the Rebbe and they would get an answer from the Rebbe. And sometimes a person would write into the Rebbe and they would not get an answer. Now, which person got the answer? The person that wrote in and got the answer, or the person that wrote in and did not get the answer? Which person got the answer? Okay, a lot of boys said, the person that wrote in and got the answer, he got the answer. Well, the fact is, that's not exactly correct. Both people got an answer. If the Rebbe answered, it means it was important that the Rebbe answered. But what if the Rebbe did not answer? That in itself is an answer. It's important that the Rebbe did not answer. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's not just the Rebbe didn't answer. By not answering, that is, for whatever reason, the answer of the Rebbe. And it's important to know, for the person, the Rebbe did not answer. And he has to think about that. What does the Rebbe mean by not answering? That's an answer. The Rebbe always answered, every letter. And if you did not get an answer in writing, you got a bracha that you would see in Hashkacha Pratis in your life, what the Rebbe wanted from you, because the Rebbe did not treat us like babies. The Rebbe did not just tell us what to do. He gave us the koyach to see for ourselves what to do. That's why the leader of the Jewish people is called the Raya Mehemna, the one who feeds the emunah. The shepherd does not feed the animals with a spoon like babies. He takes the animals to the right place and he says, this is where you should eat. Now who eats? The shepherd or the animals? They eat by themselves. Only the shepherd helped them to go to the right place to eat the right grass. And if they go to the wrong place, they might not get the right grass and it wouldn't be good for them. So he led them to the right place, but they eat themselves. The Rebbe led us that we should go to the right place, but then we figure out ourselves what to do once we're led there. You understand this? Very important. A lot of very important things in this story. All right, so we wrote in for a bracha for the trip. Our feeling was, if we get a bracha, we're going on the trip. But if we, for whatever reason, would not get a bracha, we're not going on the trip. Now, everybody knows there's sometimes the Rebbe would not be answering. So you figure out, how come the Rebbe is not answering a lot of people? It's a special time. This was not such a time. That, you know, it was a normal time that the Rebbe was answering a lot of things, and sometimes the Rebbe doesn't answer. But it wasn't like there's a certain time where the Rebbe always answers certain kind of things, and now he's not answering. It wasn't like that. Now, we wrote into the Rebbe. Now, everybody knows that if you buy a ticket for the plane, If you buy it at the last minute right away, well, it gets very expensive. You buy it ahead of time, it's much cheaper. Well, when do we want to buy tickets? We want to buy expensive tickets or cheaper tickets? I mean, the same thing, you want to pay less. Well, you have to get tickets ahead of time. So the tickets were arranged already, not by us, Baruch Hashem. Somebody said, we'll get you the tickets. We want you to come out to visit us. Well, we told them, don't buy the tickets till we hear from the Rebbe, because if we don't hear from the Rebbe, we're not coming. We have to get the bracha. They said, well, you always get a bracha, so we'll buy the tickets. We said, look, there's no such thing by the Rebbe, always. Even if we always got a bracha, it does not mean this time we're going to get a bracha. There's no saying what the Rebbe is going to do. Some people try to figure the Rebbe out, and they say, well, the Rebbe always does this way, always does that way. No such thing. Like a story I just read, I'll put this story inside of a story. There was a certain man who was the Rebbe's barber. He cut the Rebbe's hair. He would go into the Rebbe's room with all of his different machines and things and cut the Rebbe's hair. That the Rebbe should not have to waste time going to a barber shop. The covet was that the barber comes to the Rebbe. What happened was, now of course, our head is always covered, but if we're taking a haircut, we have to take off our yarmulke for a few minutes, right? The Rebbe would always put his yarmulke on the table. Always. Take off his yarmulke to get the haircut and put it on the table. Now this barber, for whatever reason, got in his mind one time. This is after cutting the Rebbe's hair many times. He said, I would love to have the Rebbe's yarmulke. You know, to have something from a tzaddik, it's very special. I'm not going to go into this whole thing now. But he wanted to go. One time he thought to himself, I would love to have the Rebbe's yarmulke. Just think, I will have a yarmulke from the Rebbe. But how would I get it? If I asked the Rebbe, could I please have your yarmulke? Maybe it's not so nice. Or maybe I should buy exactly the same kind of yarmulke as the Rebbe has. And when he puts it on the table, I will put the Rebbe's yarmulke in my pocket and right away put exactly a yarmulke, exactly the same in its place. And that way, the Rebbe has a new yarmulke and I have the Rebbe's yarmulke. But maybe that's not so nice because you're taking something in a way that is not exactly the right way. You know, maybe the Rebbe wouldn't like that. I mean, after all, if you have respect for a tzaddik, you don't just do something like that because it is the Rebbe's yarmulke. And he thought to himself, should I ask the Rebbe? Should I swap the yarmulkes? And he did not come to a decision of what to do. The next time he cut the Rebbe's hair, now I don't know if he had a yarmulke prepared or whatever. All I know is, now remember, every time the Rebbe would take off his yarmulke and put it on the table. This time the Rebbe took off his yarmulke. The barber didn't say anything. He just got ready for the haircut. The Rebbe took off his yarmulke and he put it in his pocket. Nobody said anything. The Rebbe took off his yarmulke and he put it in his pocket. And from that time on, he would take off his yarmulke, put it in his pocket. In other words, the Rebbe did this way, the Rebbe did this way. People try to figure out, oh, if the Rebbe did this and this and these times, so then probably tomorrow he's going to do this. Nobody ever can figure out the Rebbe. No such thing. The Rebbe could do a thing the same way all the time, and all of a sudden, bang, it changes. That's why he's the Rebbe. You think you could figure out the Rebbe? Can we figure out the Eibishter? Loi machshavaisai machshavaiseichem, the Eibishter says. My thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. We can't figure out the